Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your fine success with 103.7 The Beat.
Alrighty, man. Sports, as we always like to talk about when we get into the show.
Oh, yes. Off the wire, Tyrone Wheatley walks into the Wayne State Division II job.
Okay. So he got his work cut out now, right?
Yeah, but everybody want to know who Tyrone Wheatley is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tyrone Wheatley is one of the best running backs ever to come out of
State of Michigan.
Scum University. So I'm speaking as a Spartan fan, but I remember Tyrone Wheatley. We used to do the track meets in high school with barrels, and I remember going. I think Trinity Townsend was running for Hikes. He was one of the best, probably, track athletes Muskegon Hikes have ever had. And Tyrone really was doing the hurdles, right? It's the first time I've seen this in my life. And he was running, and he missed some hurdles. He didn't miss them. He stepped on them and crushed them. His legs was like, thighs were so huge, Tony. It was like, when he stepped on the hurdle, it was like crunch. I was like, wow, that's not a track athlete. That is something else.
Yeah, man.
So I just know that he's one of the best, and I say he went to Scum U, but you got to give him his credit out of Ypsilanti, I believe. One of the best brothers. And kudos to him for stepping in the coaching ranks. Again, former NFL player, highly skilled running back. I don't know, did he win the Heisman?
No.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't win the Heisman.
But he was tough, though.
But he had a stellar career in the NFL. I know he spent some time with the Raiders.
Yes.
And, you know, he played very well. But, yeah, there are some stories about him in high school that is always played on a lot of the sports shows in town.
He had
about how dynamic this kid was.
You remind me of Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Hooper, too. He was a nice hooper, too.
Yep.
Yep. He was tough.
Track. He was just an all-around athlete. Could play basketball, could dunk the ball.
Man, easily. So you want to give that brother credit and kudos and just looking at it. We got, LeBron had 46 points in the blowout against the Clippers the other day, and AD's back 20 the other night against the San Antonio Spurs. So that's 40. That's 66. He broke it down. It's like almost 140 now.
So how far he's got to go to get Kareem, you think?
130 points, probably.
That's it?
That's it. We talking about a guy that's pass first, Tony.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not a black hole.
No, he's not a black hole.
No.
He's not like, oh, I'm open. There's three people on me. No, he's not that.
No, he's never been. He's always been a guy that want to distribute the ball. And sometimes that's been a knock.
Yes.
Against LeBron, where they think he needs to take control of the game. But he realizes that longevity is because he gets his other teammates involved. Yeah, man.
I told you, and it's like, it's just funny just saying this. It's like Magic Johnson and Karl Malone had a son. They dated the same girl and had LeBron. Like to me. I got some of my seed in her. You got some of your seed in her.
And DNA.
And you got LeBron.
Okay.
Not a Michael Jordan, not a Kobe. You got Karl Malone and Magic having a kid.
Really, that is a good analogy. What his skill set is.
Because you stand next to him, you be like, hold up.
Yeah.
And then if you see him play, you're like, hold up, he got that much fluid. He's a game that fluid. And you look at that, you're like, oh, he's not a power forward? No, he's a guard.
How old is he now?
38.
He's 38. Man.
That's amazing.
It is, man.
Shoot, I was
playing at that level at 38.
I didn't have.
In the league out of high school, right?
Yeah, I was taking care of myself, but I know at 34, I was basic. No more speed. No more nice moves behind the back. Basic, could do stuff, but couldn't do no damage like that.
No, man. But what they say, he spent about $1 million a year just on his body.
And that's minuscule, right? Because he's a billion-dollar man. But just for him to think that, like, I'm putting $1 million in my body.
Amazing.
I'm going to take, I'm going to eat, amazing. Sleep, hyperbaric chamber, all that crazy stuff. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And look how it's paying off, because you got to think, every time we seen Mike chilling, Mike had a cigar and some cognac. And some Odin Polynes said he had McDonald's all the time. Michael Jordan, he's short. Get that cognac, give me that cigar and my McDonald's. I'm doing it. And the Coca-Cola's.
Yeah.
I can get 50 tonight. So it's like, he couldn't, but you know, he wasn't thinking about a kid like LeBron coming along. So he's living his life. So he's still Michael Jordan. He owns that era.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron owns his era. Everybody got that era.
They do, man.
It's great. So we got the Final Four
in the NFL.
Yeah. The rematch.
It's a good Final Four, too, man.
We got San Francisco and the Eagles on the other side, right?
San Francisco and the Eagles, woo! Baby.
That's tough.
That's going to be a great football game.
San Francisco mad because they supposed to did it last year.
And, you know, the interesting thing about San Francisco is they had all the big-name quarterbacks, Garoppolo.
Yep.
And then they traded for that Lance dude. Was it
yes, sir.
Lance or something like that, high draft pick. And they both went down. They bring in Mr. Irrelevant.
Third-string type of guy.
Who is the very last player that is taken in the draft. And they always call that guy, this title that they give, the last player taken in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant. Right, and they got a, you know, they do a whole big deal about being the last guy.
Yes,
but he played against Jalen when Jalen was at Alabama and he was at Iowa State, and it was a shootout.
Here you go. And I'm not scared of you.
Bama beat him, but it was tight right down the edge. So this kid Blake Purdy, I think his name is.
That's his name.
Has really, raised the level of the play of the 49ers. They got the guy McCafferty, the running back, and they always had Debo. Both have great defenses, man. If it's not one of the best games that we've ever seen, I'll be surprised. And then you got the other game, which is going to be just as intriguing.
Rematch.
Mahomes, man, has not beaten this kid.
And he hurt right
now. He 0-3 with a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
And I just don't know, man, if a week is enough time to come back and really be effective in this type of a football game. So, Sunday going to be a great day.
Yes, it
for
is.
Football.
I think we're going to hang out and watch that. We're going to go somewhere. Hang out day. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, man. So, yeah, I don't know who I think Cincinnati is favorite, I believe, although the game is played at Arrowhead, and I don't know who's favorite in this Philadelphia-Frisco game. I imagine Frisco would have to be.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And then, like what that dude say on Instagram, he said, Icky Woods shaking in his grave. But they alive, right? He say right. That. But he not. It's like, if they lose, Icky Woods shaking in his grave because they done been back-to-back.
Yeah.
Right? They made it to Super Bowl last year. Now they got to go against one of the best quarterbacks ever. And a team that's really known for winning in KC. But KC right. Still only hold one Super Bowl, don't they?
That's all they got is one. Yep. Right? And then, you know, they lost the guy that went to the Dolphins.
The secret weapon.
The secret weapon.
The slot guy. Hill.
Yep. Hill. And they felt like, you know, losing him, the Kansas City wouldn't even be back this year.
They're back without him.
And they back. And, you know, it's going to be just a great football game, man.
Man, it's going to be fun.
Yep.
You know, speaking of area football, basketball, we got everybody's up and playing. Big Reds are up.
Yep. They got control of the conference. So do the girls.
And
we got Morning Shores.
This week.
Friday night.
Yep.
Which.
It'll be over. It'll be.
Right. It'll be over when the show airs. But I was talking to the AD. And we're saying, this is one time I think the state of Michigan missed it, because what a great night it would be if we had the girls playing at home against Shores and the boys at home against Shores versus splitting the crowd.
Yes, so, right.
Because now the boys are going to play at Mona Shores and the girls will be at home against Mona Shores. And it's
they knew what they was doing. They don't want that. Somebody got to get cheated.
Well,
somebody got to get cheated.
Well, we know it ain't going to be the boys. If they got any chance of getting cheated, it's going to be the girl, because the boys going to smash Mona Shores.
Y'all ain't doing no clean slate on us.
We smash. The boys going to smash them, man. Yeah. They don't have a hope or a prayer. And I don't think actually the girls at Mona Shores can beat this team this year. You know, they are honorable mention.
Yes.
In Division I Class A. Our basketball team is young.
And they play some tough opponents. Like, I know Renaissance handed it to him, but Renaissance undefeated, number two in the state. I mean, you got mostly freshmen playing in Muskegon, and they just showing up to compete, and they still undefeated in their conference. I still think it's going to be a good game because they got the girls at home, right?
Yeah, so girls at home.
Part advantage at Mona Shores, me being a former coach, I know what it's like being there.
Well, they got to make the return trip. So we've already played Puffer at their place. So Again, I would just love to be able to have both of those games in the same location.
I know.
Especially when it Reese Puffer and Mona Shores. Now, the other ones don't really matter, but those two are those, you know, in-town rivalries, man.
Yeah, people got a choice out now. So.
Yeah, yeah, you got to make a choice. You want to see the boys or the girls.
Uh-oh. So, yeah, that's sports for us right now. We got, speaking of sports, the things that are around going in baskets, we got egg crisis.
Egg crisis, man, with Easter around the corner, right? Man. Easter's not far away.
You can't get no Easter basket. You ain't get no Easter egg. I can't afford no Easter egg.
Don't be no Easter egg basket this year, man. The bunny rabbit.
We ain't paying no eggs. We just going to buy the chocolate ones and you should call it a day. That's
the yeah.
We're going to look for the chocolate. Put them in the freezer so they can be hard so you can go hunt for them. When it's warm outside, you still got a regular egg.
You can buy them plastic ones. Yeah. Get you some plastic eggs. But we're not doing them eggs no more, man.
And, yeah, we don't dye no eggs and boil them. We're not wasting nothing.
No, man. And growing up, you know, as a kid, that was, you know, a tradition, right? We always had colored eggs, but
are you seeing the memes and the pictures of people like at the luxury restaurants or like somebody can sit there a ball and they got all these cartons of eggs in front of them like it's money, like
right.
Look what I got. We go on a date, we eat a dozen eggs. That's what you we balling.
they even got the skits on TikTok where you know the guy come to the door and the lady bring him out like 40 eggs and she takes the money. She said, okay, I'm not doing this no more. Don't come back. I'm moving locations. So
yep. So it's. We're in a really tight space with eggs. Some type of flu or something came and killed a lot of birds. And they say bird flu is 2 weeks. Or it's 22 weeks and you get a full chicken? Or it's 2 weeks? Let me know.
From the incubation of a chicken or the egg, what are you saying?
To get the chicken to make sure that he can lay an egg. So you just can't just say, like, I made this egg in the lab.
No. I imagine it's probably like 22 weeks once you get the chick. Yep. And then let them grow enough to you know, start producing eggs.
Yep. Even in the steroid world. So 22 weeks, they can't cut no corners. Say, I got a chicken in 2 weeks. You can't do that.
Can't cut no corners, man. So we used to paying $2.50, you know, for a dozen eggs. That was commodity. When you went to the store to purchase, rarely did you look at the price of it.
Yeah, that's my protein. I eat a boiled egg every day. I used to eat two.
Yeah.
And when that price went up, I said, I'm just going to eat one.
Right.
Grab some mixed nuts and some fruit and a protein shake. I used to have two boiled eggs and I'm good.
That was my go-to snack, man, at night or something, man, versus eating, you know, sweets and stuff. I'd throw me a couple boiled eggs in there and the
season them.
Yeah. Salt and pepper them bad boys up, man.
Whipping some tuna with an egg in it.
Oh, come on, man.
Man, I'm like, this is different now. You're like, you trying to eat expensive. You put an egg in it.
There's just certain things in life, man, that, you know, become so traditional. And when we are facing these kind of economic conditions, it's like, it don't seem fair, right? Eggs is a staple in this country. You know, like, anytime you guys go out, rarely do people not order an egg, be it a scrambled egg, over easy, fried egg, three egg omelet, you know, and it's just so such a part. It's like coffee almost.
Yep.
People that get up in the morning and have their coffee. There's people that get up in the morning like their eggs, like we were talking earlier. You know, my go-to was Burger King, right? I could always go there and get me a,
yes, sir.
You know, that $2 for $3 egg and cheese croissant.
Yep, I get the same thing with some tater tots.
Well, some places now, you can't even get eggs, okay? I know in New York, they're right around $12 a dozen of eggs. Don't seem like a lot, but when you factor in the, you know, when you look at spending $1.50 for a dozen of eggs, and now you're spending almost $12 for a dozen of eggs, that's a major increase, man.
Yeah, you don't got it.
Man, think about eggs. It goes into just about everything, right?
Vegan.
All your baked goods. Yeah. Anytime you're baking, you know, cooking, eggs is an integral part of the American meal.
I eat vegan food, Tony, but I've never had a vegan egg.
We had powdered eggs growing up, though, right?
Yeah, we had powdered. But I'm like, okay, what's the vegan egg? Like, I done had vegan meat. I done had vegan macaroni and cheese, right? I done had vegan ways of making an alternative where, like, man, that tastes like a steak. Like,
right.
Oh, that was an eggplant.
Yeah, eggplant, right.
So, like, what's the vegan egg?
Well, I guess it would be close to what they have, like the egg whites.
Yep.
You know, where they take out the yolk. But there is a company out in Idaho that is experimenting with freeze-dried chicken eggs. And it said it looks like gold dust. And that seems to be what is starting to hit the market now. But it's not cheap. We charge about $20 for a dozen of his freeze-dried eggs.
Oh, here you go. Here go one of them. I knew it. Just egg. Plant-based egg. But what is it made with? Squash or something, probably?
A plant-based egg. Yeah.
Probably squash and zucchini.
Yeah.
It's got to be a squash with some type of flavor. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Because it's only $6 for a gallon.
For a gallon? Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to try it, man.
Yes. Oh, you know, you get 12 ounces for $6. So that's pretty good.
That's still a better price than the price point than purchasing eggs, man.
Yep. So I say, it's got some sodium in it, got water, bean protein, it's got canola oil, it's got onion, it's got carrot, it got turmeric, I like turmeric, potassium, it's got soy, got some sugar in it. But don't got no crazy stuff that I couldn't pronounce in it.
Okay, well that's encouraging.
Yeah, but then it contains soy, so people that's allergic to soy, they can't touch it. But that's what I'm looking at right there. I'm looking at, hey, how can I get a vegan egg? Just egg, yeah. Some scrambled eggs, and just see how that is.
At this price, there will be alternatives, no doubt about it, man.
$12 versus $6, I'm gonna make my omelet out of just eggs, vegan eggs.
Yeah, man. So you know, again, that's one of the other issues that Americans are faced with. Is making decisions about breakfast now.
Yeah.
Yeah, do we go out and eat?
Man, I get the veggie omelet too. I go to I'm going to give a shout out Toast and Jams. Get that veggie omelet, the Santa Monica with the jalapeno peppers in it, loaded. Or the Getty Street Grill. Veggie omelet with the hash browns at the bottom.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
Man, stuffed hash browns. I be thinking about how to do that on Saturday or something.
Yeah. Getting ready to go?
Yeah, after the workout. But after just giving workout. Those local restaurants credit. They got to up their prices because the eggs going up. And they make
Trust
good
me,
food,
they,
and they give you great portions.
Yeah, they got to be increased, man. Yep. They have to be. There's no way that they can, you know, for the amount of eggs that they buy, they can sell these items at the same price.
Yeah, my wife do that. Like, I ain't hating on her. But she used to bring me breakfast. She bring me breakfast like probably once a week to my job, right? And it used to be grits, 2 scrambled eggs, right? And some toast, some jelly, cheese in the grits from Carmen's, right?
Oh, okay.
Spot, right? I'm like, yeah, I can. So she brings some other day. It's got grits and toast. I'm like, I ain't say nothing. I'm like, oh, okay.
you don't think she mentioned the eggs?
I'm like, I don't say nothing. I just, you know, you husband, you just be like, thanks for the grits and the toast. I would like to have an egg sandwich on the side, but
$5 upcharge for the egg now.
I'm gonna get cussed out.
So, ungrateful.
egg costs. You don't want that. So I understand.
Yeah, man, it is definitely something that we have to deal with. It's egg crisis, brother.
Speaking to deal with now. When you think about it, banks laying people off, tech companies laying people off.
Yes.
And we got all these mortgage companies around that's creating these online banking systems to beat out the 90-day plan of the brick-and-mortar bank. The title company, you know, like, oh, I'm about to go to the bank process. I'm going to get my ink pen. I got to go show up at this address, sign your loan, sign your all these papers, 200 pages you got to sign.
Yep.
Right? Go through this. Here go a check for this, but you got to pay here. You got to pay the city taxes. This bill's paid. Ain't no liens on the property, right? All these papers that you got to sign when you go into the title company, even though you do it online. How's that? Is it a competitive space today? What's the difference, Tony?
I think so. We just look at some of the players recently in the mortgage lending arena, like your guy that's got wholesale mortgage.
Michigan State alumni.
Michigan State alumni.
Rocket Mortgage.
Then you got Rocket Mortgage.
Yep.
And a lot of these guys were able to amass their fortunes via the internet.
Sit at home with a cup of coffee and do a mortgage.
Okay. It was before COVID, right? But COVID kind of put them on at a whole different level when it came to customer service, because this system was already in place. They were already doing that. Banks, more so, were still stuck with that face-to-face meeting and document signing versus doing a closing on a virtual basis. Okay, and people really grasped that concept, and these other mortgage companies just took off. And it is starting to make a big deal today because, like you mentioned earlier, these banks are laying off a lot of people for the simple reason is that these other companies don't have that type of an overhead.
Is it Saks that's laying off one of them big banks? Big bank, like, you work at Saks Fifth Avenue.
Saks, it was Morgan Stanley. Yep. was one of the major brokerage firms that's got hit hard. And just about every major banking institution has announced layoffs along with the tech that we talked about as well.
We're talking about big time, like, luxury banks. There's such things as a luxury bank out there where it's like highly competitive to get in that job space. And, you got laid off. You're like, hold on, I worked out my lab with the Yale, Princeton, Harvard to be with this bank, and I got to go. I can't work here no more.
Nope. You got to go find work somewhere else. For a super, it's the downturn.
Goldman
right?
Sachs, that's the name.
Goldman Sachs Bank. Yes. Goldman Sachs.
Top of the line bank.
Yep.
For the rich.
Which they struggled in its last quarter. And Bank of America did. They struggled. Wells Fargo struggled. And these are all brand type names in the banking industry.
Top of the line.
Yeah. And, you know, the other piece to that is most of our local credit unions or banks have shut down, right? If you're on Terrace Street, used to be a Fifth Third Bank, it's gone. It used to be a PNC Bank right down here, down by the post office.
Gone.
They're gone.
They just came.
So that what they're telling you is that people no longer feel the necessity or the need to go into a bank to do their banking.
Yeah, I do a lot of mine online.
That's where it's at right now, online. I even got a flyer in the mail the other day from American Express. And American Express says, you can do your banking with us now. We're not, you know, their claim to fame was the gold card, that American Express card. But now they have realized that they have so much online content and traffic, they said, we're going to get into banking. So now I can do all my banking and paying 3% on checking and savings accounts, 3%.
That's good. That's a good rate.
Yes, it is. So, but again, back to what we're talking about, these mortgage lenders, where we talk about the mortgage broker versus the financial institution, which is your Fifth Third, PNC. See, we have a third major bank in the town, Fifth Third, PNC. That's probably it.
And then for our town's Best Financial Credit Union.
Well, the credit union, it's a whole different.
I know. It's a whole different world.
Whole different world.
They do a lot of mortgages. And when you talk about small town like this,
yeah,
they wanted the premier banks.
Yeah.
Because they got a lot of people that put their money in, because you talk about the industry, health, and education. So they back that.
This is a credit union town.
Yeah.
Right? I can name more credit unions in this town than banks.
I can name credit union like somebody's two-bedroom house, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's credit union like somebody live there. No, that's a bank. We got banks like that here.
Yep.
And people got money invested in them, and they stay alive.
And their services are, if not better, you know, they're the same or if not better than your large institutions. And, you know, those larger banks, again, like your Wells Fargo's of the world, your Bank of America's, they've gotten some bad press over the last 6 months about how they, you know, not maybe scam some of their customers, right? Wells Fargo, they've been in hot water for years about people having accounts open they had no knowledge about. But it was a part of their marketing for their employees to get bonuses. You have to open up X amount of accounts per term in order to qualify for a bonus. So they was going to open up accounts for people that didn't even know it because everything was incentive-based. That's not going to happen in a credit union, okay? And it's more of a, you know, intimate setting, because I know when I walk into my credit union, you know, they know me personally because I've been there for years. Banks used to be that way, right? Banks used to be that way, but not anymore. It got very impersonal. But, you know, the issue now is it best if you're out there looking for a mortgage, do you go with a bank or financial institution, or do you go to mortgage brokers? And the difference is that mortgage brokers are basically online, right? They're going to shop you to the best interest rate that they can find, and they're basically going to take care of all the closing costs, the underwriting, the whole nine yards. But there are still people that want to go sit down.
And no, they don't.
Like you, like you want to write, you know, want to sign those papers.
Take that picture.
But not the not Generation X. They don't have time for that.
Me too. You take my picture at home. Don't send me through that process. I don't want nobody to know who I'm living at.
Right. Nope.
Oh, ain't that bought? Nope. You got the deal. You got the points. You got paid. Let me just give me my keys and we'll be on our way. You give me a picture, but please don't post it to social media.
Okay. Nope. Mm-mm. So, again, it's up to each individual how they want to pursue that, but that is something you need to take a close look at if you're in the market of purchasing a home. Look at, do I go out and find me a mortgage broker, or do I want to deal with the bank that I've dealt with for years?
Yes,
and
sir.
Again, it's your pros and cons of each one. So it was just a quick snippet about, you know, individuals that are looking for for loans, because there are still people that's got that bankroll, and, you know, if they do their due diligence, they can still get a good deal on the house, even though the rates are higher than what they have been.
Saved a lot of money over the pandemic.
And yeah.
Either it's PPP, SBA, or they just stole the PPP or got excess unemployment money. They like, I got it. I did it right. I did my due diligence and kept my money. I'm here.
Yeah.
So there's people out there like that that's ready to make that move. But speaking of like mortgages, credit cards, and spaces of looking at your credit karma out here, I wouldn't say in trouble, but some of the affiliate relationships can cause some issues or problems, you would say?
Yeah. I mean, really, I thought at one point they had a real stellar brand in the market that people were looking for the best possible credit card deal out there, right?
Yep.
Credit Karma was that company. That was their go-to company. But as it turns out, Credit Karma used what they call dark patterns to trick consumers into thinking they were pre-approved for credit card offers that they usually would not qualify for. But unfortunately, the dark patterns refer to website and app interface designs that can be used to manipulate or mislead consumers. And so what happens is when you go out there, you sign up with Credit Karma, part of that is I'm not going to take the hit on my credit score.
Soft hit, yep. But you got to have the knowledge, though, to avoid it.
You know, and I thought about that when I was reading this article. And I said, okay, you know, that's kind of what we do. We try to give the audience the tools and the knowledge to go out and make these decisions in a qualified manner.
Yes, sir.
But when you get bombarded with advertisings from companies like Credit Karma, people just feel like, you know, if it wasn't true, if they couldn't do this, then they probably couldn't advertise it on TV and radio because of the Federal Trade Communication.
Oh, yeah. They don't play that. Consumer rights don't play that. Consumer
and that's why they got nailed, is because they felt like they crossed the line in consumer confidence when they're telling these people that you can come in and get this credit card, you're pre-approved, there won't be a hit on your credit score, you got a good interest rate, yada, yada, yada. And that's why they came down on Credit Karma, because they found out that everything that they said was not true. So the old saying is buyer beware. But again, now you have the knowledge to know that if you're thinking about Credit Karma, think twice.
Yes, think twice of buying, getting those credit cards. I mean, the soft hit is the soft hit for your credit report.
But right.
After the fact, those are affiliate relationships that they have with them. So it's like, oh, this credit card coming in, buying marketing from Credit Karma. Oh, yeah, we'll advertise your credit card on our platform.
Yep.
We don't know what you're really doing, but we'll do that. So you do your due diligence on the companies that you know better. Read the fine print. And if you're going to step into space, just don't do it because internet space told you to do it.
Yeah, or you're getting bombarded with advertising and things of that nature. So still you got to be careful. Next topic we had was the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
And it can become confusing and complicated.
Last time we checked, it was what, $31
trillion? $31
trillion.
So.
Put that all in the room and just look at it. All ones, please.
So to sum it up, what does it mean to the average American? The debt ceiling or debt limit is a restriction imposed by Congress on the amount of outstanding national debt the federal government can have, according to the Treasury Department. It allows the government to pay for programs and services such as Social Security and other income security programs, Medicare, other health services, as well as national defense. And I don't know if people really do a lot of reading on the internet, but that's one of the issues that has been on a lot of the blogs is the Republicans are talking about cutting these programs in order to get control of the national debt.
Here we go.
By cutting out Social Security benefits as well as going after Medicare.
Here we go.
And there's so many other factors I think that can be looked at. Well, defense is another one.
Cut that.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving a lot of programs away, or a lot of tanks, or I'm sorry, tanks to other countries. And the military strength of this country is unmatched by anybody in this world. And, you know, the premise behind it is that we are so strong and powerful, you dare not attack or, you know, threaten the United States.
But the thing is, they're not even worried. They're like, I just get my computer and go to Starbucks and just type in and hack your system.
Right.
That's the weapon right now.
And that has changed now because
technology
has changed the battlefield from out on the ground to on your computer keyboard.
Yeah, I'd be right next door to the FBI and be like on a bench typing right into their system.
I can hack just about any and every system that you have to jam all your radar systems.
Without a gun on me.
That's right. Disrupt your financial systems.
Yep, that's the war right there.
Disrupt your airline industry, your transportation industry.
So what you gonna do? How you gonna fly? How you gonna fly a bomber or a tank, or how you gonna use a drone? Now I done hacked your whole intelligence. So, I got your satellite.
Absolutely,
oh, man. That's real warfare. That's the warfare that these other spaces are thinking in these dark spaces. Like, how can we get our technology game up? Not a rocket launcher.
Yeah, economics.
Yep.
If we destroy your infrastructure, your power system, your power grid. Just like a few months ago, down in, I think it was South Carolina, they had an attack on a power station, right?
Yes.
And the community was dark for days. And they realized that, you know, there's somebody out there that know enough about our systems of energy that they can disrupt it. And you put people in the dark, you're at an advantage by having folks in the dark. So,
oh, yeah, you are.
So, yeah, the debt ceiling is real. But this country has to have a better understanding how to handle it. And it's not taking away Social Security and Medicare benefits. That's not the answer.
No, it's not. No, it's not. auto insurance. Taking away the benefits. People shopping, they offer insurance everywhere, right?
That's it. It says that as inflation bites, consumer auto insurance shopping reaches an all-time high. Because most insurance companies have taken what they call rate. We've increased rates simply because it costs more,
man,
to be in business.
I'm going to tell you now, I'm staying with my insurance company. They took care of me. They still take care of me. I've been with them since 2000, since I've been an educator. I'm like, I stay with Mimic. And after they're under like Allstate or something. But no points on my license, decent credit score. And they send me, they say, you got unlimited. You can change it if you want to. I'm like, nope, I'm not mailing nothing in. Keep me at the maximum.
Yeah, and you know, some they're going to do incremental increases, and there are others that haven't done a great job of underwriting. And the underwriting says that when you go in for a quote, they're going to go in and they're going to, what they call, it's like betting.
Yep.
We're going to find out if this is a real risk that we want to take. And again, like you said, we're going to look at what their claims report history is. We're going to look at their traffic history. We're going to look at their driving history. We're going to look at their educational level. There's so many factors that come into it. And there's a certain segment of the population that's going to be okay.
Yes, sir.
And then there are those that have those horrible driving records, horrible claims records. They're going to pay the biggest price for it.
Do it right.
So you can go shop, in which most people do, you know, every 6 months or 12 months. If you want to, you know, lower your rate, you can do that. If not, like you said, if you got a good rate and it's affordable, you can stick with the company you're with. Yep. But this last quarter, people have really went out in the marketplace and have tried to find better deal for their auto insurance.
Well, Tony, that's our show today, Tony.
Okay.
Well, I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.